recording. Okay, I'm supposed to begin by introducing ourselves. My name is Miranda. I'm interviewing Todd. I'm 24. Am I 24? I'm 24. And this is my dad, Todd, who is my father. I already said that. And we are recording this while driving to Columbus, Ohio. Okay. This says, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what you were like as a child? Do you remember?
Yeah, I could probably pull that off. gather a thought. I would be better if we're so cloudy. So as a child, what I remember what I was like as a child is that I like to spend time with my friends. We spent a lot of time outdoors together. We built model cars together. We did pretty much anything you could do outside together that we could do, and some inside. Played cars and built model cars. Played with He-Man figurines. And I would say I enjoyed sports. I played baseball, basketball as a child.
Tell me about your grandparents. Did you have great grandparents alive when you were a kid? No.
No. No, I didn't even have grandparents.
Not really. Well.
Not really. I had. Mom's mom died. I was a baby.
Okay.
And then Dad's dad died, if I'm not mistaken, when Barbara was a baby.
Okay.
So I had Grandpa Bud on Mom's side, and then I had Ruby, which is on Dad's side, but she lived in Ohio. Didn't see her much, maybe once a year as a mom.
Tell me about a teacher or an adult that had a big impact on your life when you were growing up.
Teacher or adult. Okay. We'll do teacher first.
Okay.
Mr. Wishart was my third grade teacher. First male teacher I ever had. A couple of things I remember distinctly were that he would let us play with our Rubik's Cubes after we got done with our tests, and he would name champions whoever got the colors all together on the sides of the Rubik's Cube.
So that's how you know how to do the one color?
Yeah, we'd do one or two colors. We wouldn't do the whole thing. We weren't that advanced yet. It was third grade. And he read us some Shakespeare, the first I'd ever heard, in third grade.
Did you get it?
I got the pieces and parts.
Right.
He would go into detail and explain the background and information.
He would kind of do layman's terms.
Yeah, well, I mean, he would explain what that meant in that era of time.
Oh, okay.
So, probably made an impact because he was a male teacher, but
yeah.
wasn't the only one who liked him. He was very well liked by most students. And the other thing I remember is one of my classmates used to bring candy to school all the time, and I bought it with my lunch money.
So, that was the same year.
Okay, forget that.
Okay, what about, did you have an adult in mind?
An adult. Probably my friend, Doug. His father, Glenn, was a good role model for me. He did things that I didn't do at home. We would go to the country and pick blackberries, and we would cut wood and work in the cow fields, work in the barn. I didn't have the opportunity for any of that because I didn't live, I didn't have any access to that. Okay.
What advice would you give your teenage self?
The advice I would give my teenage self would be not to worry so much about what other people thought about me.
I think most teenagers.
Yeah, that's probably a worldwide.
Yeah. Thing that everybody needs to.
Yeah.
No one pays attention to.
Yeah, they went back and to say that again.
What are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
Personally, I'm most proudest of just my family, us all sticking it out together to make a great family. And professionally, I guess I'm most proudest of striving to be the best at what I chose to do and being able to watch myself progress in that field.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's pretty cool that you got nominated for the NAPA Mechanic of the Year. That was a pretty big
accolade, which I did not get. Let's put that on the record.
That's okay. You got nominated, though.
I did.
Just to be nominated. Pretty cool. Okay. What are you most grateful for?
Well, that's easy. I'm most grateful for my family.
Well, I figured.
Yeah.
We're pretty great.
We're pretty good.
Okay. Can you tell me the dumbest thing you ever did in your life?
Dumbest one thing?
Yeah, I guess.
Think about that.
Okay.
Well, hang on. I don't know about the dumbest thing.
Okay, so what do you regret?
Okay, so dumbest and regret, we've decided it might be two different things, but I regret not finishing school the most, because I think it would benefit me more than not, obviously, finishing. Dumbest thing I did. That's a really hard one.
I feel like it'd probably be a teenage thing, don't you?
Yeah. Maybe not.
It's been a lot of years.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities.
Complex, and there was a fenced-in area that had a high voltage power power line transformer type thing in it. And there was a sign on the front that was probably 12 inches tall and 10 inches wide that said danger, high voltage, and it was half falling off the fence that went around the transformer and the high voltage line. And I was walking through the complex with my cousin Laura, which I have spent many, many times with and years with. And I said, hang on, what's this? I'm going to get that from my room. And as I walked up and started to take it off, up pulled a policeman. Got out of his car and said, what are you doing? And I said, politely, I lied and said, it was falling down and I was putting it back up. And he said, get in the car. And I said, what? He said, get in the car. You're stealing federal property. So, then my uncle that lived in the complex happened to see what was going on, and he walked up there and begged the policeman not to put me in the police car. So I did get out of it, but by the time we got back to the condo that they lived in, my cousin Laura had to lay down because she was pale from being scared half to death.
She hasn't changed.
No. No, you can imagine how she reacted.
No, she would lose her mind. How has your life been different than how you imagined it would be when you were younger?
I guess everyone imagines life to be a certain way, or either in a broad spectrum or a narrowed spectrum. I would say life obviously was much harder. I didn't really imagine having a family and having grown children at the age of 45, but it happened, and I guess life goes by much faster than I thought it would.
Tell me a story about how you met Mom. I mean, I kind of know. I know you met at school.
Okay.
But I don't really, like, I know you were in math class together.
So how I met your mother. Ha ha ha. So I had Algebra 2 my junior year, I do believe.
That's usually how that goes.
And, Mom, Gina, had Algebra 2 her senior year. I think she had to take term algebra first, and she was, she had to take an extra math class, more than I did. So we ended up in the class together my junior year and her senior year, and you were seated by ability, so...
That's awful.
If I remember correctly, I know she sat in the first row, like the third seat back, and I sat directly parallel to her, so that would mean I'd be like the third seat back in the second row, which probably meant there were 10 people between us that were better, that was a better Algebra 2 student than I was. So we, obviously, I would talk to her when I came in. I used to steal pencils and paper from her constantly when she wasn't looking. And you did the teenage high school flirt thing. So
yeah,
that's how we met.
I'm not surprised that Mom was in the first row of people. Even if she's bad at the subject, she's got an A in it. Okay, describe your marriage proposal. I've heard Mom tell it, but I've never heard you tell it.
A marriage proposal. So, Mom worked at Central Baptist daycare. It was at Central Baptist Church in Fountain City. And it was almost directly across the street from our infamous Fountain City Park here in Knoxville, Tennessee. And I got the engagement ring, and I came to see her at lunch one day, and I said, let's go to the park and walk around. And we parked in front of the park, and there's parking by the street at, in the front of the park. And then there's bridges that go over, you can call it a creek, but it's really like a culvert for drain water.
So that's real. Is that what it is?
Attractive, yes.
I thought it was a creek.
It's not exactly a creek. It's more like a culvert for drain water, Chris. But I think the creek from Fountain City Park does flow into it. But, so we got out, and we got to the... on the bridge there, which is really close to the road, and I stopped and I got down on one knee and I grabbed the wrong hand, obviously because I was nervous, and I proposed to her and she said yes. So she got to go back to from lunch with a engagement ring on her finger.
She probably liked that though. Well, were there people around or like nobody there?
I'm sure there were some people around, but, you know, Fountain City Park, in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, there's probably not a ton of people there,
like,
but
maybe.
We were close to the road, so there's people driving by, and they can definitely see what's going on.
Did they honk, or do you remember?
I don't remember if they honked or not.
Okay. Tell me about the day I was born. How did you feel the first time you met me? Flash
help me. Okay, so as Miranda already knows, her mother was in labor with her for 39 hours. So we were both completely exhausted. But somehow you still run on adrenaline. And she was born cesarean, so we were in the operating room. So I was scared to death, and Mom was mostly knocked out. But when the first time I met Miranda, I was both excited and scared to death and relieved for all the obvious reasons. I was excited to have a child. I was scared to death because I had a child, and my wife was on the operating table and they were putting her back together. And I was just a whole bundle of emotions.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine, since I was married at 19, to have that experience at 19 years old.
I wasn't 19.
Mama's 21, you were 20, right?
Yes.
Well, still 20. That's great.
Yeah, we really, I mean, I really had no clue.
Yeah.
What I was about to experience, Mom had a better clue because she was around children a lot more than me, but still never married and had children, obviously. Both really young, and really just getting to know each other. So.
Well, when Matthew was born, was it chiller? Like, were you less freaked out?
Well, you feel more confident in raising children because you've got one that you're raising now, and you're kind of used to the gig.
Was it hard to have two kids under 5?
Yes, it was.
Did it get easier when we got older?
It always gets like easier in some ways and harder in others.
Yeah.
When they're, you know, certain periods of life when focused on certain things, and diapers and formula and basics, and then you move to a little more mature stage of life, and then some things get easier, and then you run into more hard things, and those get easier eventually.
Like they're teenagers and they hate you now?
Yeah, exactly.
What was I like, let's say, 7, 8 years old?
7, 8 years old?
Yeah.
You were, full of life, and you were,
really
very active.
I was really talkative.
Very talkative. Really didn't have a clue, but didn't care.
Yeah.
Which is what you would hope that you could say about most children that were that age.
Right. Well, what I remember about being that age is that I thought, well, maybe more like 10 or 11, I wanted to, like, hang out with you and your adult friends a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I would want to hang out with you guys instead of with the kids.
Yes. And I think that, you know, there's, when you're interested in a lot of things and you like to talk about a lot of things, and a lot of kids don't like to talk about a lot of things, they just want to play or not talk, and you're more interested in learning and hearing and socializing, then it's harder to relate to children.
Yeah, that's true. What was I like as a teenager?
It depends on what year.
Let's say 17, the hardest year.
17, you were trying to become your own person.
You don't have to be nice.
Oh, don't worry. But everybody goes through that. You were trying to become your own person. Your emotional state was one which you thought we were horrible because of what you couldn't do. You thought you knew more about life than you did. And you were starting to get glimpses of adulthood and thought that you could be an adult then. And you didn't need guidance from us.
That's pretty accurate. Tell me one of your happiest memories of me.
Happiest memories of Miranda? There's bunches of them. So, does it have to be age?
No.
Appropriate?
No, I mean, it doesn't have to be. Anytime.
Okay. I don't know if this is with you, but this is about you. I really loved to go see your performances in the band when you were doing Pillar Guard. Not necessarily for the football games, because those were so distracting from everything else going on, but the competitions on the weekends were a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed watching you be able to participate in that and to grow in that you've gotten better.
Yeah. It's pretty cool that we still have all the really nice recordings of it, too.
Yeah, that was the beginnings of being able to record anything and everything in a child's life.
Yeah.
Now you can get anything you want on your phone, but then they were beginning to get high quality recordings of all the competitions, which were nice, where we, you know, have a history that we can go back and look at that.
Yeah. I think, yeah, there's positives and negatives to being able to record everything, but I definitely think it's pretty cool. Like, I would kill for some more video of, like, me and Matthew when we were kids, or you and when you were a kid, or whatever. So it's going to be pretty cool that, like, we can record my kids whenever we want to, you know. Look back.
Yeah, it definitely helps, you know, when you're trying to remember about all the fun things you did.
Yeah.
But there's also that, for better lack of terms, that storytelling.
Yeah.
That may get lost because you...
You can just watch
it. You can just watch it.
Yeah. Well, that and, like, sometimes you should just live in the moment.
Yeah.
And just enjoy it. Instead of, like, trying to record or take pictures of...
Yeah, exactly.
How has being a parent changed you? Well, I guess you didn't have much time to be by yourself.
But you still get changed no matter what era of life you start having children.
Yeah.
You definitely go, I mean, I definitely remember being much more self-centered and selfish.
Yeah.
Before I had children. But once you figure out that you're responsible for feeding and clothing and housing a helpless human being, then that changes you.
Yeah.
That's just the most basic way it changes you. But then you are changed in that your focus becomes trying to make them the best, have the best opportunity to be the best person they can be.
Yeah.
Because they have to do that for the rest of their life.
Yeah. That's a cool thing to be a part of, though.
Yeah, it's absolutely cool. A privilege, I would call it.
If you could do it over again, is there something else you would do to raise me differently, or...
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have you for a while. That was a joke.
I wasn't offended by it.
I'm just kidding. I do feel like in some ways I wasn't well equipped, I guess. That's a silly statement to say that I haven't ever raised children before, because nobody has till they do.
Yeah. Yeah, but you, like, you didn't really have younger cousins or anything either, did you?
Yeah, I didn't have much experience raising children. Didn't have the resources that I maybe have if I would have been a little older, and life might have been a little bit easier maybe if I was more established.
Yeah.
But it's hard to go back and say what you would do again.
Yeah.
Because you never know what you might miss.
Right. What's your best advice for raising kids?
My best advice for raising kids would be...
Yeah, I can pause it if you want to think about it.
My best advice would just to be... And the thing that's immediately pops in my head is just... roll with the punches, because you're never going to be completely prepared, and always parent, this sounds silly, parent from a grace perspective, establish your boundaries with your children and your priorities, but parent with grace. So too many times I think we try to parent without grace and parent with our own priorities, and we try to mold children into things they're not.
Yeah. Like Matthew's completely different than me.
Yeah, our children are completely different, and I would say be as versatile as you can, and I just mean that try to be as grounded as you can with them, where they don't miss things because you don't like to do things.
Yeah.
For example, I wish I would have taken my son hunting. He'd never experienced hunting, and I don't like hunting, but that doesn't mean he shouldn't have experienced it. Outdoorsy things with both of my kids, instead of thinking that working so much is the most important thing at that point.
So. I don't know. When I think back to when I was a kid, I don't think, oh man, I like wish I had spent more time with mom and dad. I don't feel like I missed out on anything. So that makes you feel better. I mean, I
just want them to be as well equipped as they can and well rounded for their children.
Right. Are there any traditions that have been passed down through our family?
Yes. Never really had traditions growing up, and I'm very fond of traditions. The first thing that I remember is shopping after Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's a tradition. We used to get up in the early in the morning as a family and do that.
A lot of stuff around the holidays.
Yeah, there was a lot of holiday-based stuff.
Cinnamon rolls on Christmas morning.
Yeah, and fire starter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, going to get pine cones.
Pine cones. Matt
getting
pine cones.
Chased by a goose.
Yes.
In 2 miles, use the right two lanes to take the I-75 north exit toward Georgia.
So, just some, we have traditions, not as much passed down, just like we started some.
Yes, I didn't really have. The only tradition that, if you can call it a tradition, that I know of would be just the musical, the importance of music in your life, because it's been passed down to my family.
Yeah.
And now that we all share that, and we always listened to the music when we could, and we sang, and we learned about different artists, and hopefully that'll be carried through, because if there's one heritage that my family has, it's music.
Yeah, for sure. I think it will be. I mean, Matthew records. I love music too much, and so does Oliver. Oliver has a song for everything, so I don't think it's dying anytime soon with us, anyway.
In half a mile, use the right two lanes to take the I-75 north exit toward Georgetown, Cincinnati.
Okay. Are there any classic family joke stories or songs that you want to share?
So,
use the right two lanes to take the I-75
for my family or for...
No, for like us.
For our family.
Yeah.
So there's always the PB&J blues, peanut butter and jelly blues.
Right.
That Miranda and I sing repetitively.
I'd forgotten about that.
And,
how did that go?
Let's see. I was real hungry one day. I went to the kitchen. Looking around. I opened up the cabinet. I pulled down the peanut butter. I was looking for the jelly. I found the jelly in the refrigerator. but there was no bread. Now I have the peanut butter and jelly blues. Okay. Kind of like that.
Yeah.
It did change.
It changed.
It changed whatever we wanted it to be like.
Whatever we were missing. We've got lots of stories and songs and stuff.
So, what was the original question?
Classic jokes, stories, or songs that we have.
Stories. Jokes. Okay, jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Why did the cookie go to the hospital?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's feeling crummy. That is the number one terrible...
I don't know.
Lineage, family, bad joke.
Well, well, I told you that one.
Yes.
But the one that you tell is...
Oh, okay. So what do you call Batman and Robin when they've been run over the train? Batman and Ribbon.
It's so bad.
That's terrible.
It's the worst.
But I love it.
This was one that I honestly didn't know. Do you remember who your first kiss was with?
My first kiss? Let's see. Yes. Bobby Connor. She was the boyest girl that you'd ever known.
Well, her name was Bobby.
Bobby. She lived down the street.
Nice. What are the most important lessons you've learned from Mom?
The most important lessons from Mom, honestly, the most important lessons would be how to be selfless and how to show grace. Everybody always thinks I'm such a kind and compassionate person, but selflessness, I think that's right.
Yeah.
Then she definitely...
she sits ahead of you in the class.
Yeah, she sits ahead of me in class, and she is she's a teacher in that. And having grace for many situations that just exhibit anger instead of grace, and determination and grit,
yeah.
Because she has lived with me for 25 years, so there you go.
Okay, so we only have 6 more minutes, but I want to ask you about your favorite memories of your time with Memaw Sherry.
Favorite memories with time with Memaw Sherry. So, for sure, Christmas time. She loved Christmas, and I loved Christmas, and we loved Christmas together. Love to see family and laugh at Christmas time. And one of the specific times that I remember was when we took her to see a movie on Christmas Day night. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
And I think she hadn't been to the movies in 10 years. And Matthew jumped on the curb. And we thought he broke his ankle and took him to the hospital.
I think he ended up fracturing it. I think
it was sprained or something.
Oh, okay.
But
hospital again, and I was thinking about it, about how we, like, watched the Green Mile, because
yes,
we were sitting in the waiting room or whatever.
My mom's here, and sitting there,
yeah,
holding her purse to her stomach.
Yeah, she never said it.
Never let go.
I didn't realize that was the movie we saw.
No, Sherlock Holmes.
You love that movie.
Mm-hmm, it's my favorite.
What about Papa Jerry? Because I know, like, the yesterday was the year.
What about Papa Jerry?
Yeah.
So, childhood was, as most everybody knows, my dad was a musician, so when I was a kid, probably not pre-teenage years, I guess, preteen era. I always watched him play the piano, so I picked up a little bit on it, and he bought me this real small Casio keyboard for Christmas. And he hooked it up to his, for all you musician gurus, a Leslie Tone Cabinet, which made it sound really cool, and we jammed together out of the garage, which my jam session was three chords.
Right.
Other than that, we just were able to jam together, and I thought that was the coolest thing on the planet. And my dad always worked, well, not always, but most of the time worked either nights, lots of nights, or lots of second shift, 3 to 11. He never really got to go to a lot of my basketball games that I played, but I was playing in a basketball game freshman or sophomore, and I was on the court, and I was running down the court, and he was standing in the doorway watching, so that was a big deal for me. As an adult, probably one of my most memorable times was when we were at Cove Lake Park. Just sat and talked, and he laughed a lot at me, which was fun to see.
Is that the one we have a recording of?
I don't know. There's a picture on Facebook, actually, one that I posted, that I'm in a blue shirt, and I've got a funny face, turn my head to turn, and he's looking at me, laughing at me.
And that was that day?
That was that day.
Okay, well, that concludes the recording time.
We still got 2 hours and 48 minutes to go.
I don't know. Yes.